Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. In the collector segment, we have another huge purchase by me. This one comes from an odd collection. This was another seller that brought in a bunch of his Walking Dead to sell, and he had a bunch of low-grade books. But some of these books were key, and some of them were in the Daredevil section that I needed to complete my full run of Daredevil. I'm very, very close to completing Daredevil. Who is probably my first or second favorite character in the Marvel Universe? Not team-wise. Like, team-wise, I love the Defenders and the Champions and Fantastic Four, but as far as characters, it's Daredevil. Which I still need to seek out number one. And it's also Black Panther. That's the other character. And I think I have every volume of Black Panther. Matter of fact, I just read a Kirby issue that I was missing on the first volume. So I might not have every Jungle Action. I'll have to look at that. But these are characters I absolutely love that aren't in teams, and ones that I want to complete. Black Panther's already done, just got to work on Daredevil, and that's where I hit the Marvels every now and then. So I needed to pick up Daredevil number 6. This has the this is probably a VG copy. It's pretty nice. It's got a little spine roll, staples. They're attached, but they're a little worn. Other than that, the pages are crisp. Everything looks great. This is a Daredevil where he has the one of the enforcers he's fighting, and then he's punching some dude in a green outfit, and some guy's pointing a gun at him, and it says, "Be prepared for the ultimate in sheer villainy and suspense when the lone Daredevil battles the Fellowship of Fear. Those of you who felt we could never top our last issue, wait till you feast your eyes on this one. Another spectacular smash hit from the House of Ideas." So we got Daredevil number 6. We have Daredevil number 14 that has a it looks like a some kind of cult of blue suited guys shooting laser type objects at Daredevil. Looks like they have a bunch of missiles in the background, and it says, "If this be justice." So that was Daredevil number 14. I also picked up Daredevil number 15, which has Ox on the enforcers, and it says, "And men shall call him Ox," and he's basically standing over a beaten Daredevil. So I'm also looking in this collection was the guy that's retiring and wants to get rid of his Iron Man, Green Lantern and stuff. I'm waiting for that Flash. He said he has got a Flash collection, and I know he has a Golden Age Flash. So I'm excited to see that when it does come in the next segment of books. I guess he's like feeding him some short boxes in small increments. And he did Green Lantern. Green Lantern, my collection of Green Lantern is all complete except for Volume 1. Volume 1's Golden Age Green Lantern. I'll never complete that. Volume 2 is Green Lantern Hal Jordan. I am very close to completing that, except I blew a chance to buy number 1, which is going to be my hardest one to get at a decent price. So, I really wish I would have grabbed those first few Green Lanterns, but after the next couple of weeks, I am feeling little holes that will lead me to almost having a complete run of Green Lantern, which I'm very excited about, and that means all volumes. So, but I went on that dusty road and rabbit hole, and started to go down the Iron Man path. I already had quite a few of the double-digit Iron Mans in the tens, but this is getting me closer to completing 1 through 30. I have Iron Man number 13, Cry Carnage. I have Iron Man number 17, The Beginning of the End. Really cool cover. It looks like he's standing over himself. Looks like Tony Stark's on the ground with Iron Man over himself. Number 18, it says even heroes die, and has Iron Man fighting the golden armor, and it has the Avengers on the faces of the Avengers on the side and left and right. Goliath, Wasp, Yellow. Is that Goliath? Why is Yellow Jacket there? That confuses me. Maybe that's when Hawkeye was Goliath. Which was really bizarre. But then you have Captain America, Vision, and Jocasta. How about that? We have Iron Man number 19. What is the price of life? We have Iron Man number 20, The Slave of Lucifer. We have Iron Man number 21, which is has Iron Man throwing his helmet down. I love these covers where the heroes quit, like hero no more kind of thing. It says, "Let someone else be Iron Man. I quit." What happens before your eyes when the unbelievable comes true? That's Iron Man number 21. We have Iron Man number 22, which features Iron Man, Crimson Dynamo, Titanium Man. When the three clash, death must follow. The Russians. We have Iron Man number 23, The Man Who Killed Tony Stark. It's got some captions on it. It says, "Do your worst, low lives. I've been searching a week for you and this ship." And he's attacking some kind of ship, like it looks like a cargo ship. And he says, "No matter what you throw at me now, it won't be enough to save you." It does have a gun on the deck, and it's shooting what looks to be like cannonballs at him that are blowing up around him. And he says, it says, "The thunder of the deck gun shatters the stillness over the chill Atlantic. Red and gold figure weaves through the bursting blossoms of death as hunter and hunted clash." We got Iron Man number 26. This is he's fighting these demons, these flying monkey-looking things. And it's got some guy I've never seen before, and he's blasting these things, and they're in the center of these monkey-looking Wizard of Oz-type creatures. He says, "We've got to beat them, Valar, or we're done for." So this guy's like a Conan-type sword and sorcery guy. His name is Valar. And this guy says, "Aye, armored one, but even if they fall, they must face the solar sword." We got Iron Man number 28. Which is the controller. I've always liked this guy. It says, "Fool, your armor can't save them from the controller." He says, "Fool, sorry. Fool, your armor can't save you from the controller. Iron Man's greatest foe is back. The controller lives." We have Iron Man number 29, which is, this looks like a Kirby cover, but I'm not sure it is. It looks awesome because it's got the crackle. I gotta look this one up. It's Iron Man 29. He's getting blasted by this machine that's shooting lasers from it. And Iron Man says, "Ah! I came down here to play hero, but one more zap from the seeing eye blasters and I've had it." It's like almost like an OMAC cry revolution. So you could see I'm getting really close to completing Iron Man 1 through 30. I already had some of them. Probably missing like five, and then I'm done with that. I completed another run of Super Family Team. This is a team-up book that has reprints and such. This is a DC Giant. It is number 4 I was missing. Completed this run, so the ones I'm going to mention are in this run. This has Solomon Grundy fighting the JSA, and it says the Justice Society tries to forestall the revenge of Solomon Grundy. And it has Superman, Batman, and Robin face the battle of the menace of Moon Man. We have Super Team Family number 5. It says what happens when Superman collides with Superboy. It's got Batman battles the strangest villain of all, Eclipso, and it's got an origin story of Eclipso. We got Super Family. I really like this cover, really like it a lot, by Weiss and Rubinstein. It's Super Team Family number 11, featuring the Flash and Supergirl. Such a great cover. This is one of Supergirl's my favorite Supergirl costumes. It's an all-new 34-page giant plus the Atom. It has the Atom as well. It says trapped on the living planet of peril. That takes us to Super Team Family number 12, which features Green Lantern, Hawkman, plus Atom. This must be like where you throw Atom, like, because he's so small, he's just like plus Atom. A new double-length novel, and it also says you can be in the Superman movie details inside. We have Wonder Woman and the Atom, and so the Atom was featured a lot in these things. It's a really cool cover. I love Wonder Woman. And it says, "And waiting in the wings, the Secret Society of Supervillains." I am so excited because I love the Secret Society of Supervillains. I think this was like one of those canceled comic cavalcade issues too, so I'm really excited. I'm excited that I completed that run. Very cool. So, yeah, that's what we got on the collector's corner. Oh, well, there's one more. This was done via trade. The Marvel, what is it called? The Marvel's Collectors Deadpool box. I was able to trade it for a Green Lantern book. I already had one, and they shipped me two by accident, so I figured I could get at least $25 of books if I traded it to my comic shop. And I did, and I got a Green Lantern number 48, which features Goldface. It's introducing Goldface, the 24 karat villain. "This is your last stand, Green Lantern. I'm turning you into a prize trophy, solid gold lantern." So, very cool. And I probably could have made more off of the box selling it on my own, but I'm lazy. When you sell it, you have to go to the post office, you have to pay for shipping, you have to deal with crazy sellers, I mean crazy buyers. It wasn't worth it. I didn't feel like it. If I was in the mood for it, I think I would have, but I wasn't. So, thanks for listening to the Collector's Corner, and we are going to be talking about Mike M's Weekly Reads next. Thank you. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Before I start on the Mike M's Weekly Reads, I am going to talk briefly about thoughts on the Walking Dead final. I'm not finale. I am not going to spoil it. I think this was season six. Just a couple comments. It amazes me that people are so bad about Walking Dead, about spoiling things. It is bad. But like on podcasts, they're usually pretty good about not spoiling the comic book. So it's like the complete opposite of the TV series. It bothers me because it makes me feel like I have to watch it because I'm going to run into a meme or something that's going to spoil the episode. But this episode was, I thought, was one of the best finales in television history. And the reason I'm, and a lot of people are going to disagree with me, a lot of people were pissed off because of the way it ended. But I thought the ending had a very Empire Strikes Back type ending where there was not really an ending. You're very restless with the ending. It also didn't reveal a lot of things and left some things open, which could change over the course of 6 months or however long it takes to start the series up again. And the build up and the intensity of the build up I thought was much needed because it brought all the characters to the point they needed to be and the anxiety levels that they needed to be at, and I thought it was just phenomenal. I think people today are always just want to know the answer right away, and they're not patient enough to go along for the ride. You know, Walking Dead's not going anywhere. If you're watching it today, you'll still be able to watch it. And you don't have to be pissed off because you don't know the answer right now. And it just upsets me that people get so strung up on entertainment. You're supposed to sit back, relax, and just enjoy stuff, and people just can't do it. It's very frustrating. There's still stuff about Batman versus Superman, and I just want to say I did see that movie, and I thought it was a perfect movie. I thought it was phenomenal. Barb and I saw it a week after the premiere because we were really sick with the flu, and even when we went, I was still sort of sick. But I was over the flu. I just was dealing with the cough and stuff afterwards. But the theater was packed a week after, and we went to like the early feature, the 10 a.m. feature. And I guess the biggest thing I really liked about it is I avoided most spoilers. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what the plot was going to be, and I was completely engrossed in the plot. From the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie, I had like 4 moments of pure joy and tears of crying and emotional states that just made me happy as hell. And I really liked all the actors. I think they did a phenomenal job. Ben Affleck as Batman, he was a great Batman, an older Batman, a more wise Batman. And I love Lex Luthor. I love how they made Lex Luthor and Bruce Wayne very similar in their objectives, because that's the way they are in the comics. I think of them as inverse, invert of, one's evil and one's good, but they're all willing to go that extra distance to do whether it launch a satellite to Beomax or Luther's ploys to keep aliens off the planet. But I thought Jesse, I forget his name is, he did a phenomenal job as Lex Luthor. I thought he had all the traits that are in the comic books. He did have like a younger persona, which I could see, and but he had everything there. He had the strength of character, he had the arrogance of character. Everything that I wanted in that movie. And of course there was Wonder Woman, and she just blew my mind from the moment I saw her to the moment at the very end. And I was very surprised that they did something in the movie that I just didn't expect them to do. I really bought into the Superman thing. I feel bad for this incarnation of Superman, but I think it's a very realistic interpretation of this version of Superman. I think if alien with that much power landed on a planet today, he would not be looked at as an American hero or a hero of the world. I think he would be looked at with fear. And he has no intent to be that person. It's what society is making him. And it's just amazing. Amazing. Superman was amazing. Ben Affleck as Batman, Alfred, Jeremy Irons, amazing Alfred. The plot I think was so really, it was so solid. It introduced so much. I want to see it again. I was hoping to go again Sunday, and I thought it was like I was escaping into a comic book for 3 hours, you know, and I didn't once look at the clock. I just wanted it to keep on going. I wanted more. And I was very satisfied with it. I thought everything went really, really well. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see a Justice League movie. There were a lot of surprises in there. I don't want to talk about things that I was surprised to see. And just an overall fun movie. Like I was totally engrossed, and it was everything that I could have asked for in a movie. And I usually don't go see things twice. I think I saw Guardians twice because I liked it so much. I saw Ant-Man like 3 times, but it was a lot on DVD. So I don't count the DVD view. The actual theater, and I actually saw Star Wars twice at the theater, and I want to see this one twice, maybe even 3 times, because I don't know. It just like hit a lot of nerves for me being a lifetime DC fan. I thought it was true to a lot of aspects that are in comics. Yeah, people come in comics and they take what they want out of the comics, but I'm there. I'm there for the ups, I'm there for the downs. I never stop getting DC comics. And I see all these transitions and I see all these similarities, even when they're not well-remembered similarities. I get to see them all because I read it all and I love it. And it upsets me that just so much people just it's okay to say, hey, I don't like the movie, but when you don't like the movie and you do everything in your power to post every negative thing you can about a movie, it just pisses me off. I just want to say to you guys that do that, fuck you. You bring me down, man. And yeah, I can understand doing it once, but just to just keep on pushing it just bullshit. So there's my FU rant. And now let's get to the weekly reads. I am so far behind because I've been so sick, and it's gonna take a while for me to catch up. So this was for the week of February 29th to March 6th of 2016. The ratings again are 5, I love it. 4, I really like it. 3, I like it. 2, did not like it. 1, hated it. And there were no twos this week. There were a total of 33 comics. There were 11 Valiant, 2 Overground comics, 4 Marvel, 15 DC, and 1 Aftershock. So let's start at the 3 out of 5s. Plus Ultra, number 1. I've already read number 2, which we'll talk about in the next episode. But this is kind of about like a model superhero, and I mean like if one of the female actresses or models, if you will, in today's society was a superhero, that's what this Pulse Plus Ultra is. It's got a kind of a generic art style. The character's not too likable. And I don't know, like, I don't know why I'm so curious about this company and the evolution of this company and this universe. Because on average, it's just I like it. I never have read anything that stands out like a 4 out of 5. I really like the art in The Graduate, which is the next one that's a 3 out of 5. But this character in The Graduate is totally unlikable. It's basically about a person that's has is invulnerable. She can't die. But what does she choose to do it? She chooses not to be a hero. She chooses not to be a villain. She has like no motivation. And most of the time she just spends in the comic book trying to kill herself or find ways to try to kill herself. So I don't know, a lot of people that want to read about suicide or trying to kill yourself if you're invulnerable or not trying to do something with your ability that you were given. But I don't know. The art is phenomenal. The next one, a 3 out of 5, is Strayer. This is a Justin Jordan book from Aftershock Comics. This continues to be a good fantasy adventure with like a really cool barbarian who has a cool weapon and a girl that has powers of like a warlock, a witch, and they're trying to restore a post-apocalyptic world. And she's kind of like blackmailing him to working with her. And this was number 2. I kind of enjoyed it. A 3 out of 5 is I'm able to sit back and just to like what it is. Then we go to Legion of Superheroes, Volume 5, Number 15. This was the Mark Waid Legion of Superheroes. And it's been a really good book, but really hard to get back into. Like, I stopped with like 12. And then try to get back into the story arc, and it was really hard, which is really unusual for a Mark Waid book. But I'm finally hitting on 15, and I'm finally getting where it's going. And this eventually becomes Supergirl in the Legion of Superheroes. So it's basically Legion coming back into prominence after a war off of Earth. Sorry. And the next one is the very first volume of Iron Man number one. This is the one that I bought, talked about in a previous episode about buying Iron Man. I had bought like 1 through 20, and this was a kind of a this was an unusual Marvel book, because usually number ones in Marvel, they give you like everything that you could possibly want to come up to speed and enjoy each individual book. But number one was a jarring book because it had to do with a story arc that ended in Tales of Suspense number 99, which I didn't read. So you're like caught in the middle of a story with like no introductions. Yeah, there's a short done in one explaining the origin of Iron Man in the back, but it's not the main story. But I enjoyed it. I think I would have enjoyed it more if I would have read Tales of Suspense number 99. I might get that book because I did see it was at the shop. What else we got? We got Batgirl number 49. This is the one villain who I can't remember his name, but he disguised himself as a somebody that Barbara used to know in her childhood, and she's now like in, he's now in the apartment. But this guy here is able to tamper with her memories, and you got to remember that Barbara Gordon has photogenic memory. Well, she's lost that, and he's able to go in her mind and corrupt things. And this is kind of like hit them finding out who it is, and her and her friends trying to get back at him. So it also had some like controversial stuff on the interwebs, and I didn't interpret that, so I'm not going to interpret what Bleeding Cool and other sites are saying. They're saying that this book negated the Killing Joke, but I read it like twice to see it, and I did not interpret that. And then the writers have come upon that article and stuff and says, well, you could interpret it any way you like. So there was no confirmation or denial about that. So I'm interpreting the way that I like it, and that the Killing Joke exists. So that was the last 3 out of 5, and now we get to the 4 out of 5s. Batman 251. This was one that I read for Gotham by Geeks. Let me refresh my memory on the cover. Batman. Let's see. We're going to bring up Comic Base, which is the database that I use. And once I see the cover, it should refresh my memory of what it was. 251. There's 250. This is one that I don't physically own either. Oh, this was a Joker story by Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams. I gave this a 4 out of 5. It was pretty run-of-the-mill story about the Joker. It had some cool scenes, but based on what we've been reading, it was kind of like not one of the best ones that I've read. But it still was a 4 out of 5, which means I really liked it. And then we got New Titans number 7. This was a solo Deathstroke issue that I read for Geek Bunch Retro. It was a pretty good done-in-one story with Deathstroke. A very It was the first one in the Deathstroke Volume 1 trade. I liked it. I didn't love it. There was some cool things in there, but it was there's a lot of things that were forgettable in there. I mean, I remember the plot points, and I don't how could I describe it? It's basically him going to somewhere in Central America, being hired as a mercenary by a group that's there to protect somebody that's been in prison for many years, but he's like a government official. and they're manipulating Deathstroke, and he eventually catches on, and that's pretty much the plot. Then we have the Champions number one. This is one of my favorite comics: Hercules, Ghost Rider, Black Widow, Angel, Iceman. This is their first team up, and it basically starts at UCLA, and they're all there for various reasons. Iceman and Angel are there because they're going to school there. They're away from the mansion. Hercules is there to give a speech on Greek mythology, and let's see, Black Widow is there to teach. She wants to get a job teaching Russian. Let's see, who else am I missing? Ghost Rider's just passing through, and they all run into a bunch of harpies and a bunch of Greek mythological characters and stuff that are attacking the university. But what the real thing is they want to get Hercules to marry Venus, and who's also in there in that comic book. Awesome comic. I absolutely love this, but it wasn't quite a 5 out of 5, but it is a 4 out of 5, but it means a lot to me. Grayson number 17. This is another one. This is, I believe, starred the Frankenstein and the Grifter and all the other characters. It was a really good crossover type event with other characters as they come to the conclusion of that series. Batman Europa. That's basically a virus that this number one is gonna kill Batman and the Joker, and they both have to work together to find a cure. It's a painted art style. Really good book, at least number one was. Karnak number two. This is a Warren Ellis book about the Inhuman. Some really cool things in this one. They basically said, and I didn't know this, even though I've read like tons of Inhuman, is that Karnak never went through the mist. His abilities are all natural, and if you look at it, it's like a martial artist who could find a weakness in any point, which you would think would be a superpower, but he never went through the actual mist. So that I found that to be really interesting. I gotta take a break right now. We're back, and let's see if I remember. I was talking about Karnak. So we were talking about his abilities, and this is Karnak 2. This has got a weird shipping schedule, and man, it's like coming out every third month or something. I don't know what is going on with it, but I really enjoy it. I really enjoy the character. Then we got Batman the Outsiders number one, which was my choice for Gotham by Geeks. This is kind of the coming together of the team and him quitting the Justice League. So that's essentially what it is. And he's going to Markovia to rescue Lucius Fox, who was there and captured. And he actually asked for the help of Black Lightning. And Black Lightning had lost his powers at this time. But he's there to be like Lucius Fox's son or something like that. I think that's what it was, or cousin. I can't remember if it was either the brother or cousin or son. It was one of the three. I can't remember. And then the rest of the characters, like Metamorpho, just happens to be there because he's trying to get their lead scientist, who is also granting Brian the powers of Geoforce. And my wireless headset is dying, so I'm gonna plug it in while I'm recording. So I'm pausing again. So I'm back, and Katana just happens to be there. Halo is a girl that just doesn't even remember her past, and Batman runs into her and brings her along. And yeah, it turns out to be a really good adventure. So I highly recommend Batman the Outsiders, one of my favorite teams. There's a lot of history there too, which I talked about on Gotham by Geeks. So tune in to Gotham by Geeks to hear more about that book. And then we have Batman and Robin Eternal. This continues the attack, I think, on the Spiral by Mother, and her she's basically brainwashing all the kids across the world via satellite to capture everybody. And it's been a really cool adventure. Catwoman 78 and 79. This is the Frank Terry story about her being. This one is where Batman actually betrays her accidentally, and she goes to prison in 50, and 50 is her trying to get out of prison. But you have the Penguin, who is sending mercenaries and bounty hunters after her to retrieve a jewel that she stole. But in the jewel is a disc of basic, an encrypted disc, basically of a bunch of people that he has. It's like his blackmail list, and one of the people that is being blackmailed is discovered in issue 50, but I'm not going to talk about that because this is 50, 48, 49. Really good story. Has Killer Croc in it, has a lot of other Batman characters. Really enjoy Catwoman. I'm going to miss it in the relaunch as she's not a character in any of them. Then I read Death Defying Dr. Mirage from Valiant number 1 through 3. This was the sequel to the first Dr. Mirage from Valiant, and it is really good. It's a really good continuation as the Mirages actually try to bring him back to life. Right now he's a ghost, and she's kind of alive. She is alive, and she's able to talk to ghosts, but she's trying to bring her husband alive. And then they have her producer, which did their ghost shows when they were both alive. He's trying to revamp their show and is getting an actor to actually play her husband, which is kind of awkward. And you have Lincoln March actually return. He's kind of being possessed and such. There's another spirit that is actually trying to take away they're kind of like artifacts that they need to gather to try to bring the husband back to life. And this guy, this actor, was a he almost seems like he was like a Satanist in Hollywood back in the 40s or the he used to do like a lot of orgies and abuse women and all this kind of weird stuff. But I actually loved it. And if you look at the Mirages themselves, it's kind of like Ralph and Sue Dibney, which I compare them to. When they passed, they could have been like ghost hunters, and that's what they remind me of because their love is so strong. And it just seems like that kind of a book. And they never took advantage of that at DC to try to do like a ghost hunter. Crime type book. So that was really good. Then we have Exo Man of War 43 and 44. I think this was the ending to the spider aliens coming to, is it Wisconsin or wherever the base is or whatever, to meet Exo and land peacefully when all hell breaks loose because a fighter pilot accidentally starts to freak out and fires the missiles, and war is outbreaking. But it's up to Exo to try to find a safe haven for the spider alien religion, is actually friends that he protects, and still exist and not have the government destroy him. But there's all kinds of agendas. But these are really good. Really enjoying the spider alien stuff, and then it continues. With Commander Trill and in the number zero issue. So yeah, it's really good. Bloodshot Reborn, this is the Road Warrior type futuristic story of Bloodshot. Also has a futuristic version of Ninjak who he teams up with. Really good series. Really good artwork by Louis LaRosa. Really enjoying it. And then 5 out of 5 Imperium. This book is amazing. Dice art. Oh my God. There's so much depth and story in this that you cannot read this when you're sleepy. You have to read it when you are awake, alert, to try to absorb everything that's happening in this book, because there's so much, and there's so much to enjoy, and there's so many threads.
And there's so many characters there that all have motives and are working for Harada, and it makes it like really interesting. Really love Imperium 9 through 13. And then we get to 5 out of 5, which we just discussed on Gotham by Geeks, which was Batman 404 through 407. It's Batman Year One. Phenomenal story. I like to call it Commissioner Gordon Year One, because even though it's Batman Year One, it is like a Commissioner Gordon story to me. But phenomenal. Mazzucchelli, Frank Miller, really good story. Highly recommend it if you haven't read it. You probably have. But Imperium is also a book that, if you were there for Harbinger and see the build up, you'll love it. But Imperium to me is better than Harbinger, just because it's more about Harada. But there's just so many political things going on. There's so many. It's very high paced. It has moments there where you're like rooting for certain people, because when like Harada gets depowered, and you actually have that spider alien creature that he basically has working for him, but he hates Harada, and he gets the opportunity to try to kill him. I mean, that was amazing. So yeah, that's 5 out of 5. So the 5 out of 5s were Imperium number 9 through 13 and Batman 404 through 407. Thank you for listening, and appreciate the iTunes reviews. We got a couple more of those. Keep them coming. It helps give visibility to the podcast. Try to retweet the podcast if you enjoy it. That helps the visibility of the podcast as well. You could go to geekbrunchpodcast.com. That's the site for where you could download the episodes or leave comments there. Or you could go to Facebook under Geek Brunch Podcast and follow the episode threads there. I am at Mike Myers Brunch, and you can always tweet me about anything, and I will answer you. If you're shy, you can send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com, or you can instant message me on Twitter or Facebook if you're my friend. So I will talk to you soon, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.